will be in Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 15 to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that you have great plans for the Church of Jesus Christ, and you have many blessings in store for us. We thank you, Father, that some of those blessings are present blessings, and some are in the future, but they are all in Christ. And we praise you, Father, for what you are going to accomplish and how you are going to do it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you would turn to Ephesians, if you're not already there, we'll look at this passage this morning. And with this theme in mind of I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, as the scripture says here, faith in Jesus is a very important part of our walk with God. So looking at this passage, we would like to consider three different areas. First of all, Paul commends the believers for their faith and love for one another, as the Ephesian Christians were a loving people and a people of faith. And, of course, that is something that each of us ought to show in our own lives, is to show the love of God and to show the faith which God has placed within our hearts. And so faith and love are very important aspects of our walk with God. And the Ephesian believers were being commended by Paul for that. Secondly, Paul shows them and encourages them that their eyes should be enlightened of their hope in Christ. And we see that in verse 18, where he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." Well, we find that we do need to have illumination in our hearts and minds concerning the Word of God. As far as inspiration is concerned, that belongs to the Scripture. God has inspired his Word, and that is the revelation of God to us. But the enlightened aspect of our hearts and minds comes as we are illuminated through the Word of God. And we think of Christ. He is the light of the world. And so he does lighten or give us hearts to see and to know those things which are of him. And so the enlightening of our eyes. And then thirdly, Paul gave them reasons for their hope and faith in Christ, and we'll be looking at those also this morning. Reasons for their faith and hope. First of all, we do have hope. And of course, this hope is not just something that we kind of work up ourselves. This hope is based upon the object of our faith, which is Christ himself. And then he speaks about the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Those riches, of course, we lay up in heaven, and which Christ has obtained for us. In reality, Christ purchased these riches for us. He has already purchased them. And how did he do that? Well, we have had the communion service this morning, and we know that he purchased these riches for us by his own sacrifice upon the cross. And then also Paul mentions the power of God, the power of Christ. And we find that this power is a power which is of God. And we think of the Holy Spirit of God and how God the Holy Spirit is at work in the believer to not only bring us into the family of God and to enliven us, as it were, or to fill us with the power of the Spirit of God, but it is the power of God that sustains us and keeps us during difficult times and gives us that hope and faith unto life eternal. Having said that, in verse 22 and 23, he says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and fullness of him that filleth all in all." And so let's look at some of these areas here this morning. First of all, in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And so Paul begins with a word of commendation to the church at Ephesus. And this commendation is one because they were a people of faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, here are two wonderful words that we use in the Bible quite often. We speak about the love of God. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And of course, we often quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And we speak about the love of God and how that God's love is so important to our salvation and the relationship that we have to Christ. Well, there is the aspect of the love of God that we are to show unto others as well. And we can do that because faith is active in our lives. And the church at Ephesus had an active faith. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love unto all the saints." So faith and love are active ingredients, as it were, in the body of Christ. Because of faith and because of love, we find that many times we work out the kinds of things in relationship to service and ministry which prove our way as being truly of God, and that we want to do things to serve the Lord. And so that's important that we do that. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." And so he heard of their faith and love. And then, as we see in verse 16, he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Prayer is, of course, a very important aspect of our practical Christian living. We think of faith and of love, but prayer These three, they are so closely connected together that we utilize them almost without knowing, or in the sense without thinking about it. Somebody has a need, you immediately pray for them, or you ask for a prayer request. You're showing your faith because you do that. You're also showing your love to others because you are asking for prayer. You may pray personally yourself, or you may ask others to pray with you. You are involved in these practical aspects of God's working in the body of Christ. So Paul commends the believers for their faith and love to one another, but at the same time commends them. And doing that, he says that he does not cease to give thanks. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, as we come to that next verse, in verse 17, we find that he mentions another important aspect of the believer's walk with God, that we might have wisdom from God and revelation from God. These two words, of course, are important to our relationship with God as well. Because as we consider what wisdom is all about, wisdom is the knowledge of God. When we think about wisdom today, people think about, well, I need to bone up on my languages, or I need to learn more about history, or perhaps political science, or sociology, or philosophy, or, you know, some other kind of area that people go into studies. But that isn't what this is talking about at all. It is talking about the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God comes by knowing God, by knowing His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that this word, though it is kind of diverse in its usage, yet in this context it is talking about that knowledge which we are to have of God. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. So the whole spirit of wisdom is to know God and to have a relationship with Him. So this same Spirit, of course, is connected to the Holy Spirit. We do not get any wisdom that is not from the Spirit of God. So how does this our Spirit also come together with the Spirit of wisdom, or the idea of gaining wisdom? Well, it seems that it's talking about kind of like an attitude. What is our attitude? Is it to know God, or is it to know more about the world? Sometimes people will say, well, that person is very worldly because they know a lot about the things which are going on in the world, or they're very well educated, or something like that. But see, that would be to have the spirit of the world, the attitude of the world. But we're not talking about the attitude of the world. We're talking about an attitude of knowing God and knowing His wisdom, the knowledge of God. And so how do we get the knowledge of God? Well, by way of the Spirit of God, He can lead us into truth. And truth comes through the Word of God that we have, the Bible. It comes through God's ability to teach us. His Spirit is able to teach us. We're able to have discernment through the Holy Spirit. And we find that this wisdom then is not only from God, but it is about God, and it is in relationship to our lives of faith and love and those things that have to do with Christ. And so wisdom is important here. The word revelation here is the word you might be familiar with, because it is the word that you hear about in the book of Revelation. It is the word apocalypsis, and it means to unveil. And so what kind of unveiling does God want to do in our lives? Well, he wants to give us the unveiling of the knowledge of God, as you see, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That statement is all together. And we find that we have to open our hearts and minds to Christ. We don't put our mind in the neutral when we come to the Word of God and just say, well, whatever comes, comes. No, we take usually a very disciplined form of reading the Word of God to know more about God, and that he reveals to us more and more of himself through the Scriptures. Today, in various kinds of college or academia, there's a very disciplined form of study one might take to find out information. Certainly, if you were going to study history, you wouldn't just study American history alone, though that might be an area, but you might study European history as well, and you might study world history as it relates to the world. In other words, there is a very disciplined form of study to learn a particular area. The same would be for science or for various other avenues of studies. Well, when it comes to the Word of God, we don't just study the New Testament, we study the Old Testament as well. And understanding what the Old Testament says, it helps us to understand the New Testament. In fact, as God reveals himself in the Old Testament, he also reveals himself in the New Testament. But we find that the Old Testament foreshadowed the things to come in the New Testament. And these truths, these are revealed to us, are unveiled as we study together. And so we are told that God desires for us to know him through the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So God wants us to know him. In fact, the theology is often called the queen of the sciences because it is a thorough study and often a systematic study of God if you took, say, a study like theology. But you can take other aspects of studies in theology. You can go into a study called biblical theology, where it is approached a little bit different than it is in systematic theology. But the whole idea is that we might grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God. The wisdom and revelation are unveiling of the knowledge of God in Christ. And so God desires for us to have this closer relationship with him. Paul prays for them and encourages them that their eyes be enlightened of their hope in Christ. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so this prayer continues, and by the way, verse 15 through 23, it's all one sentence. Just the same as verse 1 through 14 is all one sentence. It's all one continuing thought. And the same thing is verse 15 to 23. One continuous thought all the way through. And Paul compacts so much information in here that it takes a theologian to unwrap it. But we won't try to do that this morning. We'll just deal with some of these practical areas, like faith, love, and prayer, and that we might know the wisdom of God, and that we might understand the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and that we might be enlightened. So you see, we're learning some practical things about this. We might be enlightened. And the aspect of this enlightening is also important to our walk with God. Phototismo, something like that, tizo, phototizo, I guess that is the Greek word, kind of photo, we get that almost like photograph, you know, we think of photograph, and I'm not much of a photographer, you know, I can use a camera or something like that, but perhaps Elder Potter could really tell us a lot about phototismo, the idea of photography and of how you can take a picture and the light and so forth, because he comes into that scientific area there. But we find that to brighten up, to enlighten, to illuminate, to bring to light, to make to see. Phototizo. To make to see. And so the Lord wants us to see something, doesn't he? He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being made to see. Made to see. And we find that this is important. How can we be made to see? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in Christ. We can be made to see. The riches that we have in Christ. The hope that we have in Christ. Reading on in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? So in this third area, he talks about the power of God. Paul gave them reason for their hope and faith in Christ, and he says it's all because of the power of God, that we have hope and faith in Christ. We would not have hope and faith in Christ without God and his power being manifest toward us. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for us. And the power of God, the power of God, not only the aspect of God's creative genius in the book of Genesis, but we find in the area of salvation, God sent his only begotten Son. The power of God was demonstrated toward us. That being demonstrated, we also can enjoy the blessings of that power and know it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What is that? First of all, we see, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So we find that the first fact here given in verse 18 is that there is a present hope. A present hope. Verse 18. That your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope. So the power of God has given us hope, a present hope. We have hope and faith, realizing that God has manifested his power toward us. So we have hope for today. We're not fatalists. You're not a fatalist. I'm not a fatalist. I believe God is in control of things, you see. And now that's hope. That's true hope. The atheist might be a fatalist, for sure. At least in his practical philosophy, he is a fatalist. You know, you say, well, I'm going to do it myself. I don't believe in God. I'm going to do it myself. The only hope I have is the hope I create. So I'm going to do it myself. But as Christians, we say, no, that isn't true. No, my faith and hope is in Christ. I know God is in control. I know that he means to do good unto me, and I know that the things that he does are going to be good because I love him. I know him and I love him. And so it is that we pray and ask the Lord to meet those needs and answer those prayers because we have faith and hope in a God who is there. A God who is there, you see. He is there. He is the one behind all things. The second thing that we see here is we have certain riches in Christ Jesus. Now, this also is connected to hope, because our hope is not only present, but our hope is future, in the future. We believe God is in control now, and we believe God is in control in the future. And in fact, it is because he is in control in the future that something awaits us. The riches that we have in Christ. The purchased possession. We are his purchased possession, and so he has us a goal in mind for us. And so as we look on here, in this passage of Scripture, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So hope and riches, those two things are connected to the power of God. We wouldn't have those things to come if it were not for the power of God. We wouldn't know the hope that we have in Christ if it were not for the power of God. And so those are very strongly connected together, and we want to know them and enjoy those things. And then thirdly, there is a third aspect here as well, that he talks about the power of God. Notice in verse 20 and 21, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. The power of God did what? It brought forth Christ from the grave. Christ was resurrected. The power of God. We see the power of God in Christ coming, but also in Christ dying and in Christ being resurrected from the grave. In fact, the resurrection is the cornerstone of our Christian faith. Without the resurrection, Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. We're trying to believe in something that isn't true, when in reality we say, yes, it is true. It is true because Christ did come, because God is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, because God is the one who commended his love toward us through Christ our Lord, because God has given us faith, God has given us love, God has given us wisdom through him, through his Spirit. God has given us revelation of him, an unveiling of him, of Christ. God has given us hope, he has given us riches, and he resurrected the Savior. This is all by the power of God, and because of the power of God, then he is above all, and through all, and in all, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And so Paul gave them reasons for their hope and faith in Christ. Hope in Christ, riches in Christ, power in Christ, because God has exhibited and manifested his power toward us, his love toward us. And so it is that as we consider God's working and enlightening his phototizo, his working to make us see, the truth, we are strengthened in our walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in Christ. And Paul says, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. He recognized their faith in the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Loving Father, that you may also cause other people to see our faith in the Lord Jesus. Bless us, Lord, because you have designed to do so. Bless us, Lord, because you have called us unto yourself in Christ. Bless us, Lord, because it is all in your power to do these things to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.